So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, indeed, here we go. The home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff, we are at our posts. Ready for today's 5 at 5. Brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And, Jeff, let's start with some news from yesterday. We did allude to it in the first hour there, is that Florida released some salary data for its assistant football coaching staff. And the one that really stuck out, they're paying Todd Grantham a ton of money, 3 years. I think it's like $4.47 million over the 3 years. It's what he's making this year in Gainesville will be $750,000 more than he was being paid last year at Mississippi State for the same head coach working with Dan Mullen. By the way, we scored 31 points against him and beat him 31-3 here in Athens. Here's my question about Todd Grantham to start is, and here's a guy that worked for Mark Richt here in Athens. He worked for Bobby Petrino at Louisville. He worked for Dan Mullen at Mississippi State. Now has followed him to Florida, where Florida is paying him more money than they've ever paid an assistant football coach.
Which, by the way, that includes Dan Mullen, Bob Stoops, and Charlie Strong.
Charlie Strong, Ron Zook.
Yes.
So here's what I want to ask about Todd Grantham, Jeff. Is it possible? Could it be? Are we wrong about him?
I've never seen a Fast and the Furious, Chris. I never saw Lord of the Rings. Never read the Harry Potter books.
Right, okay.
Maybe I just don't get it. But I know this. He was not good here, and I have enjoyed it when Georgia has played against his defenses after he left.
Yeah, and I don't have any concerns about Georgia's ability to score points in the cocktail party in the in the near future. Now, Florida's offense is going to be better than it has been over the last couple of years, but I'm not suddenly really sweating like, oh my gosh. I mean, our defense better come to play in Jacksonville in the next couple of years, because our offense points will be at a premium. And the last two times we faced a Grantham defense, one of those was ended. You know, Bryce Ramsey had to come into the game, and we didn't have any problem scoring in that Belk Bowl. And
they had eight guys on the field for the one chub run. And then,
yeah,
we were inside. I think we might have been on our one or two, and Chubb had like an 86-yarder. I mean, it was just so much of the same stuff.
How about that 99-yard touchdown pass we gave up to Nebraska?
Oh, that one hurt.
I know Nebraska wasn't running the wishbone at the time, but, you know, when you give up a 99-yard touchdown pass to Nebraska, that doesn't seem good.
No, we had fought. I think at that point we had made it 17-12. They're third and about 18 on their own one, and it was a you-got-to-be-bleeping-kidding-me moment.
So we're not wrong, but then what is it that these – because very good coaches, Mark Richt, Bobby Petrino – Dan Mullen.
He's got a great agent.
He's got the best agent.
He must be able to sell something.
That guy's got Ari Gold working for him.
That's kind of like, I'll tell you a guy who I don't think is a good actor, but gets a lot of choice roles, is Keanu Reeves. I think he's a horrible actor.
Yeah. But he's been in some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's kind of like that. In fact, have you seen those John Wick movies?
No, I can't watch anything with him. And in fact, I think like The Devil's Advocate would have been a tremendous movie if it wasn't for him. You got Al Pacino playing the devil. Does it get any better than that? But they had Keanu in there faking a Southern accent.
Yeah, that wasn't good. But when he does that, you know, that dude act.
Yeah.
I guess he's all right at that.
I mean, he was good in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, but
they're making a third one of that, they announced.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't get it with Grantham, but hey, I'm glad he's at Florida.
I am too. Because if anytime I start to get a little bit worried about, you know, the potential the Gators have under Dan Mullen, you know, I'm able to cut the tension by reminding myself that Todd Grantham is their defensive coordinator.
I also remember him giving the choke sign to Caleb Sturgis.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember him nearly getting into a fight with James Franklin.
I remember him leaving. He was the defensive coordinator here, and he left for Louisville, and Georgia fans weren't upset about that.
I mean, I do too.
Normally you'd be mad. Like, if Mel Tucker left here to become the defensive coordinator at Louisville,
like, what's going on?
We'd be very angry and upset. Yeah. Like, why aren't we paying him or making it worth his time? Yeah.
It's kind of like if you've ever had, I think we should see other people. Oh, yeah, you are speaking my language.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, for like, if Mel Tucker leaves here, it better be for a head coaching job someplace.
Question.
Or, if he goes back to the NFL or something like that, I guess I would understand that.
I wouldn't even an NFL coordinator, I wouldn't like. I mean, it's got to be a head coaching job for Mel at this point. I mean, you know, Georgia's program, what Kirby's done to build on the great history and tradition of Georgia. I mean, Kirby has Georgia back in the elite. I mean, so defensive coordinator here is as good an assistant coaching job as there is in football.
That's all pending, though. The first down we give up this fall, though, I'll be ready to run him out of town.
What
yeah.
is going on here?
That's how it is. Right now, Mel Tucker, you can't leave unless you're going to become a head coach somewhere. But the first down Austin Peay gets, you better – that seat's going to be getting hot. Can you believe we let them move the chains?
Well, when we allowed Missouri, that was a great call I got.
That was the best.
We allowed them to run. Well, we actually tried.
And I'll give that guy credit because he did catch himself, and he did go, I realize I'm complaining about a game where we did this and that. Like, yeah. At least you realize that.
We scored 53.
Yeah.
We won by 25 and had 696 yards.
Yeah. But at that point, my best advice to that gentleman was to never watch another Georgia football game because it will never, ever, ever satisfy you.
Let me ask you.
To be undefeated and do that weekend and to be still be like critical of some things is like you're not ever going to enjoy it then.
No. That put us at 7-0
yeah.
with an open date coming up.
Having just clobbered Tennessee and
Vandy and beat
Notre Dame.
State. No doubt. Have you ever seen the Lord of the Rings movies?
Yes.
Are they good?
Yeah. Yeah, they're good.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Adam shot me a tweet and said, you've never seen the Lord of the Rings? No,
they're very long.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons I never got, I know I had friends that read the books and all. It just, you know, as much as I like sci-fi stuff, the creepy game when I was a kid was Dungeons and Dragons. Never, ever, ever got into that, and I always thought that was the oddballs who played that. That's just what I thought of when I thought of Lord of the Rings. It just made me think of Dungeons and Dragons.
When I saw the first one, after sitting in a theater for 3 hours, essentially, like, there's no ending to the movie because there are going to be two other ones. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, my buddy that I went to see the movie with had to, like, calm me down because I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I just sat here for 3 hours, and it just ends with Sam the Gardener and Frodo walking off. Nothing happened.
Is Frodo Elijah Wood?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the real hero of the movie is Sam the Gardener.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, that's just what I'm.
Yeah, they're good. The Harry Potter movies I loved.
I've seen a couple of those. Emily's a huge Harry Potter fan. She's read all the books. And I'll say this. That's probably, in our lifetime, the closest thing there's been to a Star Wars phenomenon.
Yeah, like, you know, there's a theme park that's popped up. I don't know if they've done quite the merchandising, but...
No, the Star Wars phenomenon, that was just such a perfect storm there.
Yeah.
But the Harry Potter thing's huge. And I have seen a couple of the movies with her. They're good.
All right, moving on in today's 5 at 5, Jeff. Let's talk some golf with the Players Championship on deck for the weekend, starting tomorrow. By the way, the former Georgia golfer, Keith Mitchell, has gotten into the field because Paul Casey withdrew, so Mitchell got his spot. So there'll be another former Bulldog in the field.
He's been on a lot of leaderboards this year.
Yeah, I saw him last week. He made the first three rounds at the Wells Fargo on the 18th hole. He made a 5, 6, and a 7. And so I noticed where he tweeted and said, "The 18th hole at Wells Fargo is hard. I've made a 5-6 and a 7. I'm looking forward to my 8 tomorrow." But he made I think he parred it.
Good for him.
Yeah. No, on his final round.
Yeah, very. But I think he was in a tie for second maybe on Friday last week. He's playing well.
Well, probably the 18th hole is what knocked him out of it. Anyway, so he got into the field because Paul Casey withdrew because of a bad back. But here's the point I wanted to bring up with the Players Championship is, late last weekend, before all the pairings were announced, like it was revealed that we do have these two feature groups going off in the first two rounds, Tiger, Phil, and Fowler. And then Spieth, Justin Thomas, and Rory McIlroy, which got me to thinking, you know who's not in one of those featured groups is the number one ranked golfer in the world right now, Dustin Johnson. So not a featured player, ranked number one. What does that say about Dustin Johnson, or even like, is that good or bad for golf right now that the PGA itself doesn't feel like the number one ranked player in the world is really is he not a featured player?
I don't know if I've ever bought huge into those world golf rankings as it is. I think that's just always been a common sense thing. Who's won the most majors in a recent period of time? But I mean, to me, Dustin is absolutely a marquee player. And I guess the fact that he hadn't really challenged for a major since he won that U.S. Open in 2016 really knocked him back. And I wonder, too, Chris, kind of going on a tangent here, if he's going to look back, because I don't think he'll win a Masters. Now, saying that, he could also go out there and win the thing by nine shots.
He finished 10th there this year.
Because the guy can overpower a course unlike any. You know, we had kind of thought that about him with the British Open. He'll go miscut, 30th, and then win by 7, which it looked like he was going to do in 2015. Then he went sideways. I just wonder if he's going to look back at what happened at Augusta last year in 2017 and really say that sidetracked him, because he had, I mean, a Tiger-esque Tiger in his prime pre-Masters start to his season. I mean, he was putting up unbelievable numbers.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and that's why he went into that tournament as just a heavy favorite.
But he really hadn't sniffed a major since then.
No, I mean, he did. I mean, he finished well at Augusta, but it's not like he was really in the hunt at any point.
No. So, what's your take on him?
Because Fowler is one of those featured players, and he hasn't won a major. Right. Now, he's the only one of those six in those featured groups that hasn't, because obviously Tiger and Phil have, and then Thomas just won the PGA, and Spieth, and I mean Rory, but. I do get where, like, there's nothing really flashy about him. And so with as good as he is, when he is playing well, you know, like, Rory gets that strut on.
Right.
And, you know, you see where Fowler is, like, wildly popular. But, like, with Dustin Johnson, as good as he is, it's like, here's a guy that's just a really good golfer, but there's not really a ton that's appealing about him.
No, there's not. And he's a terrific player. He doesn't exactly exude charisma either.
No, I mean, I think that's the thing is when he's winning, losing, you really don't. He's one of those guys you have no idea. Is he kind of like Chipper Jones was early in his career, maybe?
Did I show you that great picture I saw of Chipper Jones on Super 70 Sports? He and Travis Tritt before a Braves game.
Yeah.
He was throwing out the first pitch. I mean, that's just kind of chipper.
Yeah.
He's just an old country boy, loved to play baseball.
So I guess my thought was, like, I don't even know if that's something that he'd even think about or care about. I feel like if I was the number one player in the world and the PGA Tour is sending, you know what, we got for the Players Championship featured groups, and I'm not in that featured group, that, like, ordinarily, would that be something that would bother you? But I guess with Dustin Johnson, like, it probably isn't even something that's even crossed his mind.
I mean, I just remember when he got DQ'd, just that ridiculous goings-on at the 2010 PGA, there was a camera kind of looking into the locker room, and he wasn't happy. He was just walking in just a white V-neck T-shirt and his golf pants. Like, oh. And then he went out and won the next week.
I know. Yeah. I think, like, that sort of is good for him, because he can shake off that.
He can.
You know.
Because he's a guy, and I will say this about a lot of players, but he's a guy who could easily have three or four major championships, and he's got the one.
Yeah.
You know, Jason Day's in that boat.
But any, I mean, he's got a win this year on tour, and he no finished at, tied for 10th at Augusta. So it's not like he's having a bad year. But you know, when it comes to, you know, Tiger, Phil, Fowler, Spieth, you know, Thomas is one of those guys that gets excited on the course when he hits good shots. But you know, with Dustin Johnson, I mean, I guess he could fly one in from the fairway and probably get like a little high five with his caddy brother, and that'd be about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good shot. But he is capable of overpowering any golf course and going out there and lapping the field.
Yeah. Like, I'd almost feel like I want to say, like, he would take that and as an insult and like win the tournament this week, but then I also think like he probably hasn't really given much thought to it, not as much as I've put into it. That the number one player in the world is not considered one of the feature pairings at the, you know, like the signature PGA tournament, right? This is their tournament,
right? Yeah.
Other than the champion
for the non-majors,
yeah.
That's why they literally call it the Players' Championship. I still call it the TPC because it was the Tournament Players' Championship, but they just shortened it up. So it's basically, this is like the All-Star Game. This is the Players' Championship. It's for them. It's got the big purse. And, you know, the deal with this, what used to be, back in the day, it had the most money. I think it's tied with all the majors now. They're all very similar. But you used to get a 10-year exemption with this thing. And that was why when the PGA was kind of not going to great courses and there were some drift winners. I mean, the Tiger Sergio showdown in 99 really revitalized the PGA. I think there are a lot of players that would have privately told you they would have rather won the TPC than the PGA. And I think that 10-year exemption was a big reason.
And the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bonus question here, too. A lot of analysts keep telling me that you got to be a good ball striker to win the Players' Championship.
Yes, you do.
Well, who on the PGA Tour is not a good ball striker?
I know. All those
What
guys
does that
are
mean?
Good. That's like saying, you know what, to be a good running back in the SEC, Chris, you got to be fast.
Yeah, there's you got to be a good ball striker. I'm looking at good ball strikers this week to win.
All right. Well, everyone, let me tell you what, if you're a bad ball striker, you ain't going to be on tour too long.
Yeah, you're not on tour. I'd love to know what that. Well, I have to file that away for cuts next week.
I mean, I get it. There are guys that are better with their irons, like, you know, my man Watson's one of the great iron
and putting
players. Ben Hogan was. But yeah, well, you know what? You got to be good off the tee. Oh boy, you got to be a good ball striker. You got to be good with those irons. Got to have a good short game. You got to be able to putt. You do all those things, you're in good shape.
I'm trying to figure out who to bet on this week, and all I keep getting the experts keep telling me I need to bet on good ball strikers. I don't
That's
know
everybody.
How to.
Just keep riding Harmon.
Harmon?
Well, he's from Savannah.
I was thinking about potentially about Kisner this week.
He lost in that playoff to Ricky, I guess, was that 2 years ago?
Yeah. You know, he's had kind of like this weird up and down. He had a good run at the match play. I think he miss the cut last week, though, at Wells Fargo? I mean, he's kind of had like this up and down season, but.
The thing about this tournament, though, it's so interesting in that nobody's dominated it. Nobody's won more than two since it's been here at Sawgrass. Nobody's ever gone back to back. You know, you've had Greg Norman go out there and put up unbelievable numbers. You've had big hitters win this thing,
short hitters win it.
Fred Funk's won it.
Yeah.
You've had guys that nobody's heard of win it, and you've had huge names win it.
Young guys, old guys.
It's the hardest tournament to pick because the course favors no one the way it's set up. But I'll tell you this.
It's almost like, I mean, you might a drifter like Tiger could win it this week.
A drifter like Tiger who's won it twice could win it.
But he's ranked like 105 right now.
I mean, for me, when I think, you know, Augusta National is the greatest place in the world, but when I think about closing holes – 17 and 18 don't measure up to 10 through 16 at Augusta. Certainly at Pebble Beach, when you're talking about 17 and 18 back-to-back, you know, St. Andrews, you got the road hole, and then going up 18 through the Valley of Sin, which got Jordan Spieth. But I mean, that the close there at TPC, 16 is a great hole, but 17 and 18. And I get it, 17 for, oh, it's not that hard a shot. But you know what? You still got to straight carry over water, and I get it, it's a huge green, and these guys are hitting wedge, but that atmosphere at that hole, it's one of the great closing stretches in golf.
Yeah, it is, and the 17th hole is unique that you're just standing there watching, hoping guys hit the ball in the water.
Because, and again, you know how much I love Augusta National. It'll always be my favorite, but you know, you go through Amen Corner, and then you get, I mean, 14's just brutal. 15's a great par 5. 13 and 15 are maybe the two best par 5s in the world. And then you got 16, which 16, 12, and number 7 at Pebble are probably the three best par 3s in the world. But you think about it, after 16, you know, that's the last water hole. 17 and 18, as terrific as the holes are, they don't measure up to 10 through 16.
No, there's not much to them. Even though, I mean, 17 is tough, but that's green.
The green, and I mean, the tee shot, too.
Well, the tee shot at 18,
yeah. Because you're going down that shaft. Yeah. And since 17 lost the Eisenhower tree, and I get it, it's been out of play for them. But, you know, usually the thing about Augusta, too, you go through Amen Corner, you got the par 5s at 13 and 15. You got 16 where they set up the pin on Sunday. What makes a Masters so great? They're on that second nine. There's so many holes where you can make anywhere from eagle to double bogey. But then you get to 17 and 18, and the thing is, let me just get old man par and get this thing home.
Yeah.
No matter where you're sitting. But I do love the finish at the Players. I think it's great. And as famous as number 17 is, I think 18's the best hole on the course.
Well, you got a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series this week, so you probably won't make it back to.
I'm going to be just down the road.
That is true, but not that you're watching golf anyway.
It's been tough.
Patrick Reed ruined it.
On April the 8th.
All right, moving on to the 5 at 5, Jeff. As we know, we've entered the season of lists.
I love it. It's
and,
my favorite season.
There have been a lot of preseason lists, and most so far have been rankings of quarterbacks in college football. And Ross and I have discussed this a couple of times because pretty much every single one of these lists has Tua Tagovailoa as either the best or the second best quarterback, not in the SEC, but in college football. And I understand we're not really in a strong position to argue against that here in Athens based on what he did in the second half of that game. But if he played at any school other than Alabama, he would be the lead candidate to be a flop this season. But there's no way he can be, because even if he's not very good, Alabama will be great, and it won't reflect poorly on him. But it's just crazy that
he hadn't started a game.
Yeah, and he might not. I mean, Jalen Hurts could still end up being their starting quarterback. But anyway, my question here is, what do you think is a fair spot for Jake Fromm? Because he's one that's ranged from, you know, maybe being in the top 5 to being around, you know, between 10 and 15.
I think top 10's fine for Jake. And the crazy thing about this position, well, we all know what just happened in the draft. You had the two California kids were high profile. Lamar Jackson was a reigning Heisman winner. Baker Mayfield won it last year. All those guys are gone.
Well, I think it's fast.
I'm sorry, Chris, but JT Barrett, too, from Ohio State, is basically a four-year starter there, too.
I think it's fascinating how the SEC now, a year ago, felt like the quarterback position in the league was still very, very weak. And now you look at, I mean, you got Tua. Then you've got Stidham, Locke, Fromm, Fitzgerald.
Bentley.
Throwing Bentley at South Carolina.
Yeah, there are a lot of good quarterbacks in the league. And I think Georgia and Alabama, you know, we have full faith and confidence Justin Fields will be. Georgia and Alabama both feel like they've got two really good quarterbacks. Clemson feels like they've got two really good quarterbacks, if not three, because remember, they signed a 5-star last year. Guy from Indiana.
Yeah, and now they've got Trevor Lawrence, who's popping up, by the way.
He'll win the job this year.
Some of these lists already have him ahead of even Kelly Bryant.
He'll be their quarterback at some point.
Yeah. But the Tua, if Tua played anywhere other than Alabama, there's a very Jeremy Johnson feel to the preseason hype with him.
And he's a great player.
I know.
We saw firsthand, but – you know, like you said, though, the key for him, he's surrounded by so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be impossible for him to be with all this hype to really, like, you look back on it, boy, what a flop he was. Because even if he is average, below average, it just, you won't notice it because Bama's not going to, the worst their record will be is 11-1.
Well, the other part, too, I mean, you look up front, they got Jonah Williams, Leatherwood, and Piercebacher all back on the line. So
I mean, I don't see anyone beating them in the regular season, but if they do have 1 week.
Yeah, it could happen.
But they're not losing twice. So the worst their record will be at 11-1. So, you know, with him and all this, you know, he's the best or the second best quarterback in college football. It just, if he played anywhere than Alabama, he'd be tracking toward the big flop of the college football season. But it just won't happen to him because of where he plays.
Yeah, and the fact that Bama's gone a 7 straight 9 out of 10 years, either 11-1 or 12-0, bet against him at your own peril.
Jeff, finally. Lines have been revealed out in Clark County, Nevada for weeks 1 through basically the first every team's 15 games. The week 17 lines aren't out because there's a lot of volatility with those. The Falcons are favored in 10 games. They're an underdog in 5. Does that seem about right to you for Atlanta this season?
I think so. I think you and I both have Atlanta sitting around. I've got Atlanta going to the Super Bowl. I think they'll win 11 or 12 games, so that sounds about right.
They're catching at Philly, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Green Bay, and even catching in Week 16 at Carolina. And then they're favored in all their home games and also favored on the road at Washington, Cleveland.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I would think you might could get a bargain with them at Carolina in Week 16.
Yeah.
And if they could win one of those road games and win most of them they're favored in.
Will we take the 5 points Week 1 against Philly? Atlanta does not – they don't win there, though.
No, they don't. I'd probably take the 5, 2 good teams.
That's a lot of points.
That's a Thursday nighter, right?
It's the opening night of the season, yeah. You know, Philly, Super Bowl champs, celebrating that.
Two birds of prey.
Yep. Atlanta did almost – that's a revenge game, too, for the Falcons.
Yeah, but Atlanta up there, it hadn't been good, especially in the playoffs.
No, I looked it up. They've won, like, twice there since, like, the 80s. They've got 2 wins in Philly.
So when I got back from the road the other day and was flipping back and forth between a Godzilla movie called Invasion of the Astro Monster and the NBC Sports Network, which is what my TV was on when I'd gone to bed watching the hockey, saw the odds to win the AFC Championship pop up there. I think we should go through that.
Yeah. The Patriots are going to be back in the playoffs, if you were wondering. All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.